We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Breed of the cheetah. It's friggin' he hits that little outside and they just start picking their way to, and look where they always end up. They end up on the boundaries. They end up to the edge, that outside, because it's a zone type of read. If you got a guy that's that big and that's powerful and he grabs your tackle and stands him up and holds him right there on the line, there's no separation. There's no stretch. So now the backside becomes the front side. And all you got to do is tell your defense, stay home. He's going to anchor it here, and he ain't going anywhere. I'm going to hold the anchor, and now the back's going to have to cut back, and everyone just stay home. You shut down the running game. Now your boots become average. You shut down so much. You got to get some. You're going to have to come up with a plan. That will have to be his finest hour, Kyle Shanahan, to scheme for that.
Well, you're jumping ahead already to Cleveland. What about against Pittsburgh? This was a top six defense in terms of efficiency last year. They're no joke on that side of the ball either. They've struggled early, but who's not going to struggle at New England in week one?
You're going to get their – then that's why I'm saying you're going to get their best. The Steelers, this is a playoff for the Steelers. You're not going to go 0-3 and have any shot pretty much at the playoffs. It's pretty much done. And they know that. This week, Tomlin has been on those guys. They're sounding alarmed. They're saying, look, this is our season. They are going to come out and be physical. They went out and they got better on defense. They said, we are going to have to make this game ugly, and we can't make mistakes. If that means we're not making mistakes, then what does that mean we're going to do? That means we got to have ball efficiency. We got to run the ball. We got to take our shots when we can, but we got to make sure that we're efficient in the passing game and we're efficient in the running game. They're going to come out and try to slow this thing down to keep San Francisco 49ers offense off the field. This is going to be a very, very physical game. It's not going to be what everyone thinks, just a one-sided. The crowd's going to be unbelievable, going to be loud, going to be yelling. This Pittsburgh Steeler team has some pride. And if you don't have, you got motorboated in week one, you got absolutely slapped in the face, you got embarrassed. Week two, your quarterback goes down, your young quarterback comes in and fights his butt off. Now you're in a must situation. This is a must win for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the bottom line.
Chester from San Jose is going to be at the game. Let's see what he thinks about the atmosphere. Chester, welcome to the show. How excited are you for this game? What do you think Levi's is going to be like this weekend?
I hope loud. I mean, let's get out of the cellar. We're making this through, kick down the door, and, you know, pump, get behind these guys. They're busting their butts. Let's get 3-0, and that show that we're going to be a great product for the next coming years. So some of those Raider fans are iffy. Come on over. We're the one show in town. All right, that's all I got, guys.
Appreciate the phone
great
call.
Chester,
with
a little
much.
Recruiting pitch there for Raider fans who will be stuck in the lurch here sooner rather than later.
How does that work with, like, the really young children of Raiders fans right now when they leave? Like, the parents will probably try to sway him to it, but, like, Anna's been out sick, but she was one of those kids that was born when the Raiders were in L.A., so even though she was East Bay, she's a Niners fan.
It depends on how your parents approach it. I would immediately grant my kids FFA, fan free agency. You get free agency immediately when your team leaves town. Now, if you want to follow them to their new destination, Las Vegas, of course, by all means. But you, as a fan, doesn't mean you burn your jersey when they leave town. It just means you move on. And if you want to move on to the other local team, that's fine. I think it's one of those cases where, as a fan, you can't lose when your team leaves town.
888-957-9570. If the Billions want to weigh in, Jay in San Jose. Jay, thank you for the phone call. The floor is yours. Fire when ready.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. Hey, Joe. I'm really surprised that you're really defending the Steelers right now. You know, you got that Niner defensive line, and you got Big Ben out. You see a little blood trickling from the neck of the snake. It's time to go ahead and chop that snake's head off.
You mean Lowe or me? Lowe was the one that was making the case for the Steelers, and it was a good case based on, you know, the situation they're in. What was I saying that you disagreed with?
You were saying that everybody likes, you know, Pittsburgh, and that they're a playoff team, and that they've been in the playoffs, but now they're struggling. But yet, Big Ben's out of the game. You got the running back that's somewhat hurt. He's not fully hurt yet, but that's what the reports were saying, his ankle. And I think it's time to take advantage of the situation.
Agreed.
Thank you, Jay. I think he was indicating what you said earlier about the money, how the money has gone Pittsburgh's way, and how that's something maybe that indicates that that Vegas and the gamblers feel like Pittsburgh has maybe more of a chance than otherwise you might think with the backup quarterback in there.
It's a big indicator. The game was 7. It's now 6.5. That is a big move. 7 is one of the most key numbers in football betting. If you see a move off of 3 in either direction or off 7 in either direction, that means something. For it to go from 7 to 6.5 means you took Pittsburgh money or you got some really good Pittsburgh information. That doesn't mean that people believe Pittsburgh's going to win. They might just think that based on their modeling that the Niners should not be this big of a favorite. We talked with Joe Starkey, who hosts radio in Pittsburgh, and he also writes for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette earlier. He said people are excited about the idea of Mason Rudolph. This is what you've been bringing up, too, that some might view the drop from Rudolph, from Roethlisberger to Rudolph, not as significantly as it would be in some other backup quarterback situations.
Yeah, they said Rudolph is, you know, the guy. You saw him come into the game, even against Seattle. The guy was throwing the ball well. He spinned it around a little bit. You saw his accuracy. He's there. He can move in the pocket. He's more mobile than Big Ben right now. So people are optimistic. They're excited. But this is they don't know what to think because a lot of the fans are like, they haven't been in this situation because Ben's always played for the last 15 years and he's missed some time, but never this early or this significant amount of time that he's going to miss the whole season. But at the other sense, they understand fans are like kind of gloomy. They understand this is the big game for him. And that's what he was alluding to. This is going to be a huge game for the Steelers and the organization. And a lot of these players are going to step up. So I'm looking forward to this game. I really am. It gets to show me what the 49ers are really made of. They've been on the road. Kudos. They took care of the two road games, which they should have. But now you're coming in and you got a cage tiger that's been wounded. And we're going to see, how can you tame him? Are you going to tame him? Are you going to go out here and, like the caller said, step on his neck? Can you do it? Can you knock this team out? It's going to be tough to do.
I think, like Dibs mentioned earlier, I'm actually more excited to see how the fan base turns out for this game.
Yeah.
I really am. This is one of, if not the biggest games in Levi Stadium history from a Niners perspective. Let me
Thank
make that
you,
clear
Joe.
Before
Thank
the
you.
Chilton Auto Body text line goes nuts with the Alabama-Clemson and Super Bowl. Yes, the Super Bowl is a big game.
Yes.
I am in agreement that the Super Bowl is a big game.
That's why it's the Super Bowl. It's not the Mediocre Bowl, Coach. And you mentioned the Winter Classic.
And it's
yes.
not the Super Cup. It's a Super Bowl.
Yes, it's a super game, and it is the Super Bowl. But I think other than the Turkey on the 50 game, where the Niners came in 7-4 hosting the Thanksgiving game against Seattle, that was the biggest game up until this one. You're sitting 2-0, and imagine if they go 3-0 into a bye week. A 49er team that has been so subpar for so long, you'd be sitting 3-0 into a bye with Monday Night Football on the back end. This is massive,
and
Coach.
And you know what that does for the team? You go 3-0, and now you lose this game, and now you got to wait for 2 weeks to get back on the field.
True,
you're just sick. You got to you go in that locker room, and you're freaking you. This whole week, guys, you don't want to think about going into a bye, losing, and having this right here being 2-0, have a chance to go 3-0, and then have a bye. Can't lose this game.
888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in. Breakfast with Baldy, your chance to win coming up in about 30 seconds to a minute. Might as well take another call in the intermediary. Alex in Mountain View. Alex, thank you for the phone call. Welcome to the show. The floor is yours. Fire when ready.
Hey, guys. Morning. Thanks for having me. Well, 2-0, and like you said, we've been so subpar for so long, whether it was Tom Sula, the Blaine train. Now 2-0, Jimmy's looking good. Defense is looking good. Niners are happy. And guess what? Levi Stadium is about to be popping. I'm telling you, the fans are going to turn out. Do not sell those tickets. I don't want to see more Steelers fans than Niners fans. I want to see the faithful crowd at Levi's letting other teams know that you're in the home of the Niners, and we're back, baby.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. Seems to be more excitement than we've encountered in quite some time.
It's been years, Coach. It's been since before you were here, quite frankly. And you always mentioned how you've been here 5 years, which hard to believe. It's been already 5 years, but it's been that long at least since you've had this level of excitement, and you should be excited.
Never once. I haven't covered a single high-level football season since I've been here, with the exception of the Raider playoff run. But the problem was that Carr broke his leg in Week 16.
Right.
And everyone remembers that as the big deflating moment where it was, yeah, they made the playoffs, but they're not going very far.
I remember live radio from Reno with Bloody Marys. And hey, Yeah, it was quite a production. I couldn't even finish the impersonation.
Shout out, Danny. Wow.
What is wrong with you?
It was a good show. He produced his took us off.
All right, it's time
me,
for
you and the goo.
Time for Breakfast with Baldy. Time for Breakfast with Baldy. Brian Baldinger, former NFL offensive lineman, 95.7 The Game Football Insider. He's going to be on the call for the Steeler Niner game this weekend, which means he's going to be in town Friday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. He's going to be riding shotgun with us for the entire show. We are inviting one person plus a guest each day this week at 8:15 a.m. to come in from 8 to 10, have some breakfast with us, watch the show, all that good stuff. Trivia question, and you got to take to the contest line to win it. 844-999-GAME. Question, Baldy played offensive line, but he did have one career catch. How many receiving yards did he record on that catch? 844-999-4263. 844-999-4263. First person to get it right will win the opportunity to come in Friday with a guest for Breakfast with Baldy. Baldy was an offensive lineman, but the one catch he had in his career, how many yards did it go for?
It's pretty exciting.
Do you know the answer?
I do. And these all these questions came from the brain of one Dan Dibley in my internet research. And we do have one clue for you on this one. It's less than 50 yards. And it's more than 0 yards. But it was
less than 50.
I'll tell you this. I was trying to find.
An offensive lineman didn't go for 58 yards on a reception, huh?
We can ask Baldy. I mean, he played for a long time and he had one catch as an O lineman. We'll ask him on Friday to describe the play. I didn't find video of it, but it sounds like a pretty fun, wild effort for our good friend Brian Baldinger.
All right. So I'm looking at this now as you talk about the anticipation that'll lead into the Cleveland game. And again, it's not to look ahead, but I want to throw this nugget out there. Shanahan in his career, with the Niners coming off the bye 0-2. He hasn't won either of those games. Last year, they played the Giants in that primetime game. I want to say, was that Sunday night? That may have been the Monday night game they got. I don't know. But whatever it was, they lost that game on November 12th. They went on the bye. They came back, went to Tampa, and lost 27-9. That was last year coming off the bye. The year before that, again, I want to say they played the New York Giants. They won that game 31-21, hit the bye, and then hosted the Seattle Seahawks. This was the game where Garoppolo came in late. They lost that game 24-13. Garoppolo came in for the final couple plays because Beathard got hurt. He threw the touchdown pass, and then he took over and beat the Bears, Texans, Titans, Jags, and Rams. So Shanahan, I'm not saying it's a big sample. I'm not saying it's something to worry about, but note that 0-2 under Shanahan when coming off the bye.
And 0-0 right with Jimmy G as a starter coming off the bye. So neither of those games, true, Jimmy G games. So you hope that in this case, assuming that Jimmy G will start in week 5, football's a dangerous game, that that the fortunes will change and that this team, and you know, we already were talking about the trends and I've been harping on it all year, 3-13 on the road under Kyle Shanahan first 2 years, and now they're 2-0 on the road this season. So that gets immediately washed away. And you look at other trends and you hopefully can start discounting those as well as you go through.
All right, let's go back to the billions. 888-957-9570. Steve in Oakland. Steve, thank you for the phone call. What's going on?
How you guys doing? I'm Steve from Oakland, but I'm actually calling from the Mita. Shout out, love.
Shout out to Mita.
I'll send off an internet.
My man.
Check this out, man. You guys think the Seahawks are better than the Niners? I think you guys do. And the Steelers were not out of it last week. And Mike Tomlin ain't going to do nothing but use Kyle Shanahan to show everybody that the Steelers aren't dead in the water. They're going to exploit the Niners this week. You guys don't know that?
We better recognize, Steve. Thank you.
I mean, no one here is dismissing the Steelers. No one. Lowe's been making the case all morning that this is your classic trap game. The injury at left tackle is going to be a big deal. You seem antsy about something back there. Are you trying to come on? You got nothing? I saw him leaning forward. I was like, Mike seems like it's about to come on for Langford. Let's bring him into the show.
Let's bring him in, kid. He's getting warmed up for his big update here coming up in 4 minutes.
Set an over-under on total mistakes made by Langford, and we see if he can get through it. The under's been paying.
Yeah, you goaded him into it with a 3-error line last hour, and he was able to keep it under. So maybe maybe we shift that thing a little bit down to the pressure zone.
Jamal in Pittsburgh. Jamal, thank you for the phone call. What's going on?
Hey, guys, love the show. Just had a quick message for that Niner fan who'd call with that recruiting message. Any real Raider fan would never think about going over to the Niner Red so he could take an egg, put it in his shoe, and beat it.
That's fair.
It's great
representation from the Raider fans saying they will not switch over. So what does that mean? You continue rooting for them when they're in Las Vegas? Do you travel to Vegas? How does all that work? It seems complicated.
It does. And you get FFA, you get fan free agency, despite what Jamal said. And we were talking about with children, not necessarily your kid's age, Joe, because they're so young, you could put them in a punter jersey and they're not totally aware that they're the president and vice president of the Mitch Wishnowsky fan club. But if your kid's, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 and the Raiders leave and they still want to be football fans and you don't necessarily want to support the move to Las Vegas, your kids get fan-free agency and you can do what you want.
888-957-9570. Let's go to Bruce in San Jose. Bruce, thank you for the phone call. Fire when ready.
What's up, guys? Love you guys, man. Hey, Lo, are you sweating right now? Because I seen you at the Charger game. You were sweating, man. You got to bring an extra shirt, bro.
Yeah, I was sweating like a preacher in a pulpit. That's that high blood pressure, bro. Pray for me.
You got to take that high blood pressure medicine, though. Hey, anyway, I'm a little concerned about this upcoming game. Pittsburgh got a rookie first time playing. Now it brings me back to when the Niners started muddling last year against the Raiders, and he dominated the Raiders. So I'm a little worried about what's going to happen with this quarterback from Pittsburgh. I hope the Niners don't take him lightly.
Fair point. We appreciate the phone call. So how do you attack a young quarterback making his first career start? Do you bring a ton of pressure and try to rattle him? What that would do, though, is expose you in the back end. And if the Steelers are thinking dink and dunk, he's going to get the ball out of his hands in a hurry, and he's going to build that confidence with those short passing routes. Conversely, you can sit back, choke off the throwing lanes, but now you're giving him time to get confident in the pocket. What's the best way to approach that?
You make him uncomfortable, and you get that middle push. So you know what the guys on the outside can do, and you know what our big boy Ford does. You know what the Forrest Buckner does in the middle. You push that pal in his lap, and you make him uncomfortable. And when you decide to come from the short side of the field, bring a little heat from the short side. So, okay, look, I'm gonna bring some heat. I'm going to fire him up from the short side of the field. So I'm going to make that pressure in his face, and then make him throw the long ball. It's tough throwing those. When you on the short side of the field, and now you got to look that outside, start hitting there, that's tough throwing that long. So take that away. Bring some pressure. You know you got Sherman over there. He plays great man-to-man there. So lock Sherman up and bring a little bit. Heat him up a little bit. Make him uncomfortable. Don't let him run the ball. You got to shut down the run because they're going to come in here and try to establish the run. But I heat that young fella up, Joe.
I like that. Heat him up. You put the stove on and you put him on there and you heat him up. You're not trying to boil him or come after him with 7 or 8 or, you know, in cover 0. But just heat him up a little bit.
Just heat him up a little bit. That's just like with a bullfrog. You put him in water and don't turn it up hot. If you turn it up hot, that bullfrog jump right out of the pot. Do it all the time. He jumps right up. But if you do that,
a lot of bullfrogs in the Mita.
A lot of bullfrogs down there in Leemore. And you turn that water you turn that water up real slow. He'd cook him. You cook him to death. That's you won't even move. Just don't even. You heat him up real fast.
Find yourself cooking a lot of bullfrogs.
I love some frog legs, Joe. If you come down to Leemore,
pass. We've already established that.
Jeremiah cooked a bullfrog. I believe is a famous song.
I'll be going to Yosemite, but I'll be taking the long way.
But if, stop by.
Why take chances?
You like it's like fried chicken.
Going up
bro.
Over the top.
It's like fried chicken. You'll love it.
I've had frog's legs.
Okay.
It's a delicacy.
Absolutely.
Not the moo version where it's probably just, you know, you just rip them off the body and throw it at the guy.
No.
Looking for those.
I caught me dinner, Ma.
Like at a nice French restaurant.
Heat up the stove,
yeah,
but not too hot.
Kind of the moo when you just kind of take a live frog and you hold it upside down and you hand it to me. It's going to be like, I'm not feeling that,
I
dude.
I season up a little salt and pepper, a little flour, man. You don't get,
yeah, oh. I'm still not eating a live frog like you. Like that. I respect your right to do that sort of stuff.
You flour and season it up and then you put it in the water? I'm confused, Coach.
Wait, come on.
Why would you eat a live frog to begin
with? How'd you guys turn this? This is okay.
Yeah, Greg Colantino from Greg Colantino from Redwood City, who won today's version of Breakfast with Baldy. One more opportunity tomorrow at 8:15. Steve Mariucci, we're going to figure out how to attack Mason Rudolph and how the Steelers are going to attack Jimmy Garoppolo without Joe Staley. He's coming up next to lay out the game plan. You're not going to want to miss it. But first, over under 2.5 mistakes on the update, which is brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromise.
Give me the over.
From Stephen Langford.
Thank you, Joe. What's coming up on the game is brought to you By Ticket Crushers, the 49ers are back at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers after going 2-0 on the road for the first time since 1989. Defensive end Dee Ford is questionable for Sunday with a knee injury. Should we expect to see him play against Pittsburgh? The guys will ask our 49ers insider Cam Inman at 9:05. Take Joe Lowe and Dibs on the go. Download the Radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game. On to baseball, San Francisco Giants outfielder Mike Yastrzemski hit a home run in his Fenway Park debut as the Giants beat the Red Sox 7-6 after a 15-inning battle. Now, the original Yaz Red Sox legend Carl Yastrzemski will join Bonte Steiny and Guru today at 11:45 to talk about his grandson's Fenway Park debut. The A's have a two-game wildcard lead after a 2-1 victory over the Royals last night. Got a ticket? Suspended license? DUI? Don't pay? Let the attorneys at Ticket Crushers go to court for you and crush that ticket for as little as $149. Ticket Crushers knows how to win. Call 866-TICKET-HELP. That's 866-TICKET-HELP for a free consultation. Coming up with Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game, NFL insider Steve Mariucci. I'm Stephen Langford, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
How loud do you think this place is going to be, and what percentage of the building is going to be comprised of Pittsburgh Steelers fans? Cam Inman will join us at 9:05, but right now, we go to the dial pad guest line. Former head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, current analyst for the NFL Network, 95.7 The Game football insider Steve Mariucci, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coach, we always appreciate the time. Let's jump right into it. If you're Kyle Shanahan, how do you prepare your team for this game this week against the Steelers? They're 2-0, they're riding high, but just because Big Ben's out does not mean this is going to be a pushover.
Good morning, fellas. Good to be on with you again. It's a big game, and you're right. This place is going to be rocking on Sunday because I think the Niners can smell some blood in the water right now, and the 0-2 Steelers are still trying to find their way. Even with Ben Roethlisberger, they didn't look all that good to me. They're vulnerable. And Mason Rudolph is a good kid. I got to know him when he came out of Oklahoma State, you know, a year ago, but third rounder, threw for 13,000 yards and 90 touchdowns, and he certainly got his feet wet last week in their loss. But I think the Niners are confident in where they are at 2-0, playing well, playing very well. And so they got a chance, man, to go 3-0 before the bye, which is really, really encouraging, and then come back to a Monday night game against the Browns. There's a lot of optimism, and for good reason.
That would be on everyone's wildest dreams at the start of the year to be sitting 3-0 heading into the bye. From a coaching standpoint, Steve, how do you prepare for Mason Rudolph when you don't have that much tape on him as a pro? Do you look at his college tape, or do you just try to go off of the trends that Pittsburgh already has?
Yeah, mostly with Pittsburgh, and you study the heck out of what he did last week. He threw a couple touchdown passes and completed 12 passes and did okay. He really did. But he's not going to run the offense that he ran at Oklahoma State. He's going to run the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. And think about that team now, how it's come apart. They've lost their triplets. You know, I work with Michael Irvin, and we hear about the triplets like every hour. We're on the air. and that's why you win championships. You have a great quarterback, a great running back, and a great receiver, and then after that, figure it out. But the Pittsburgh Steelers don't have Ben anymore, Lev Bell or AB, and it's I don't want to say they're depleted, but they're different. And when you replace great players, you typically replace them with someone else that wants to be great or isn't there yet. I think Juju Smith-Schuster is really a fine receiver, but James Conner's got to be more productive for him at running back, and then you got the young quarterback that's a question mark. So, the Steelers are, I don't want to say they're in rebuilding mode. They just traded for Minka Fitzpatrick from the Dolphins, a first-round safety from a year ago. The defense is not what it used to be either. It's not the steel curtain. So, no disrespect with the Steelers, but they are in somewhat of a rebuilding mode.
Coach, so let's put you in Tomlin's position now. How would you go in on the road, hostile environment, team's 2-0? What is your game plan? How are you trying to exploit this Niners defense? What are you doing with this team if you're in this position?
Yeah, and Mike's a good coach, and he's had a lot of success, and he's going to he's going to, you know, preach this week. It's us against the world, and it's our backs against the wall. We're going to see what we're made of, you know, all that kind of stuff, right?
Sure.
And try every ounce of energy out of this team to shock the world. And hey, you know, we're the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it is a very prideful organization. We all know that. They've won 6 Super Bowls, and so they're not going to go away easy. So, you know, then they're going to turn the film on and go, whoa, we're running into a little bit of a buzzsaw over here in Levi Stadium in San Francisco, 49ers, because they are playing well on both sides of the ball. And I like their defense. And you got to be careful when you're throwing the ball against Richard Sherman, and you got to be getting the ball out of there because you're going to get some pass rush from that front 4 or even that front 7, because they like to dial it up and get to the quarterback. They like to be balanced on offense. You're not going to get a lot of possessions for Mason Rudolph because the 49ers can run the football. Heck, they ran for over 250 yards last week. So it's not an easy challenge against the Niners. They're a good, solid football team. And so Pittsburgh's going to have to play their best game.
Steve Mariucci with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Jalen Ramsey, the Pro Bowl cornerback of the Jacksonville Jaguars, he had his agent contact the team to say that he would like a trade. Whether that happens remains to be seen, but a lot of Niner fans are interested in the concept of the Niners getting aggressive and trying to bring Ramsey in. Do you think this is the type of team that should be making a move for Jalen Ramsey? Between the draft picks and the contract, it's awfully pricey.
Yeah, no. This is starting to drive me a little bit nuts, guys, because it's like college. You know, I don't like where I am. I want to transfer. And so I don't like the fact that a player can say, hey, I don't like the coach. I had an argument, or I don't like my team because we're losing. Like in Miami, they want out of there. And then, you know, there's AB want out of there for whatever the reasons are. To demand a trade and then to be traded the next week is just kind of driving me a little bit nuts, because you sign a contract for a reason. It's not always rosy. You got to go through the ups and downs with your team. So I don't want this to become a trend. It's like, you know, where all the good players on bad teams, I say they want to get out of there. I want to play for the Patriots. I want to play for the Niners where there's sunshine. No, just, you know, you suck it up and play for the team that drafted you. And Jalen Ramsey's a heck of a player. He's a great player. I love him. But, you know, he had a thing with the coach on the sidelines. I don't know exactly what that was about. But just because you have a little thing with somebody on your team and you lose a game, it doesn't mean you should be wanting to get out of there.
Steve, we talked about it yesterday. It's like the NFL emulating the NBA in that way, where players can force their way out. What can the league do ahead of or including the next collective bargaining agreement to try to reverse this and make it so this player movement isn't a trend?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. Like college used to be, if you transferred, you'd have to sit out a year. Now, that's never going to happen. But maybe you sit out a month, or maybe whatever that is. But it's up to the teams. It's not so much up to the league. It's up to the teams if they want to play hardball or not and say, yeah, no, sorry, we're not trading you. So just tape up your ankles and play football. There's going to be a lot of changes with this new collective bargaining agreement, and everywhere from how many preseason games we have to how much money the players will make and some of this transfer stuff too. But, I'm all for free agency. I'm all for guys moving on and getting a better deal somewhere else when their contract's up, or if it's a win-win situation for a amicable kind of a trade. But all of these demands in season after a couple losses, I don't particularly care for.
Yeah, Coach, I totally understand. A player you played for this weekend, you know, it's going to be probably a sold-out, jacked-up crowd. T.O. going into the Ring of Honor for the 49ers. Well, you know, what's some of your fond memories, and what type of player was he?
Well, he was a great player. Hall of Famer. Made a difference, he had to sit behind Jerry Rice when he was a youngster of Chattanooga, right?
Right.
And kind of be patient for a little bit. And then when he got his chance, he really took advantage of it and became one of the real factors in the league, hard to cover, very versatile guy that could play right, left, inside, or outside. You know, we talk about nowadays these slot receivers, right? The Julian Edelman type guys, the Wes Welker type guys, the little water bug kind of fast, quick guys that can open. Well, when we had all three receivers healthy, T.O. was our slot. T.O. was the inside guy. He was a slot. And that was really a mismatch because, you know, the third corner couldn't cover him. The linebackers weren't fast enough to cover him. And so it became a real problem for people to cover him in the slot. So he just had a terrific career, no doubt about that. And it'll be very appropriate for him to go into the Ring of Honor there.
This conversation with Steve Mariucci is brought to you by Gelati Construction Company, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork, solutions, and excellence. Former head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, current analyst for the NFL Network, 95.7 The Game football insider Steve Mariucci with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coach, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for coming on with us this morning.
All right. We'll talk to you next time, okay?
Absolutely, Coach. Thank you very much. All right. Matt Breida, 49er running back, doing some social media with the 49ers account. I don't know if it was today or yesterday, but it was very recent. A message to the fans regarding the Steelers game this weekend.
Guys, we need you. The way the faithful traveled to Cincinnati, to Tampa, we loved it. It felt like home games, and I just need to see nothing but a sea of red out there on Sunday, and we'll get the dub.
Is that a guarantee?
That's it.
If there's a sea of red, we'll get the dub.
Thank you, Matt. Our first lock of the week comes from Matt Breida.
Lay the points. Lay them all. Lay the alternate line, 20.
Easy. Who says no? Other than most people unwilling to take.
Lots of us say no to that. They're not going to lay 20 with the Steelers.
Plus 2,000, I'm sure. You get decent money coming back. 20-1.
I have to do that with the Giants tonight. They're plus 490 if they can win by four or more. Boach is going for 2,000. I figure I'll lay the alternate line tonight. Down so much money on this bet 162 garbage. I got to play. I was thinking it's either that or I'm going to start betting, will there be a grand slam? It's usually 8-1. I'm just going to start betting grand slams every night. That's all I got left. I got to just put up lottery tickets now. I'm not allowed to do any parlays. Curse my own stupid rules.
Backs against the wall here.
Yeah. The Breida message, what do you think? And that's a great thing to connect with the fans, but you know, we're not going to dive into it and talk about guarantees. But
yeah.
Honestly, they do probably have a little bit of a thought in the back of their mind, not the players, but the staff. What's it going to look like? How many tickets are going to be sold to Steeler fans trying to come out? How loud is it going to be? This is the first real opportunity in a long time where, as a Niner fan, you can try to turn this building into something. Rather than a sterile structure with very little history that a lot of people have questioned based on its location, you can start to make this home. Like, you can finally start to make this home, but you've been making the case all week. The only way to make it home is how?
Yes, by winning and having creative moments and memorable moments happen. Culture doesn't just happen because you open a new building, and the Warriors are going to find this out at Chase Center. You're not going to get the Roracle vibe. You're not going to get anything you had at Oracle until you go out and you create it through memorable moments, game-winning shots, playoff victories,
Bob and the
upsets.
Billions at 8:55.
Yeah, of course. And I know you're listening to Bob. And Bob, you know this. The guy's been around almost as long as I have, and you know what it takes. When the Giants opened up AT&T Park, it was a beautiful park, but everyone was complaining, this isn't Candlestick. And the Giants fans, no, I'm telling you, Joe.
No, I appreciate it. It's just, there's always something. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, there's always something.
And fans couldn't wait to leave Candlestick because it was cold, it was drafty, it was a dump, all these other things. You had to go all the way down almost to Brisbane. But when they got the new park, it's like, well, we lost our soul. We lost the spirit of the Giants. It takes time. Luckily, the Giants won in 2000. 2002, they went to the World Series. Even though it didn't work out as they had hoped, you had a winner.
You got something on your hands.
Now you got something. You had Barry Bonds and you had splash hits, and all of a sudden it developed quickly. The Niners haven't had that luxury. You had an 8-8 team, and then you had 3 years of pure misery. Now you appear to be digging out of it. This is the first chance for the fan base to go down there and make an imprint. If you have a strip sack, a pick six, and the fans are going crazy, and it's a sea of red, and you win 31-17, all of a sudden now you got something cooking at Levi's.
I love the rant. And I shudder at whether or not I should say what I'm about to say, because I know you're opposed to it. But this is the main reason, the case you laid out, as to why I think it's okay for fans to say we. Because I think they do have a direct impact on the game by creating a hostile environment. I'm not saying you're wrong. What I'm saying is we differ, because I know you're not a fan of we. So this isn't meant to say you're wrong, I'm right.
Right.
It's just the difference of opinion, right? Like, I don't eat a ton of seafood because I don't necessarily like it. Big fan of halibut. I made that case the other day. But I'm not going to tell you seafood's bad. I'm just going to say I don't like it. This is me disagreeing with you,
right,
but not saying you're wrong. But I do believe you can say we when you're a Seattle Seahawks fan and you have caused so
seismic
much
activity.
Chaos. Yeah, and seismic activity.
You literally moved the earth. And, you know, I'm
don't necessarily know if that's true. I know a lot of people talked and wrote about that.
Beastquake.
I think that might be. Yeah, but I think there's a fallacy to that. I think there was something that developed there, but I think scientists went back and proved that it was not actually. I don't want to rain on that.
No, and I think, Joe, I'm much more willing to allow the we culture to prevail if you're so loud that you're producing false starts from Mason Rudolph. And I know outdoor stadium, you don't have the same advantage of like New Orleans as loud as it's going to be in week 14 when they play the Saints in front of us and many other 49er fans, but
maybe a little bit intoxicated.
Perhaps, maybe just a skosh.
White claws for everybody.
Yes, around the house and hurricanes at halftime, hopefully. Got to find that stand.
You should go to Patty O'Brien to be like, can I have a hurricane, but can you make it with White Claw, please?
That's actually not bad.
Hurricane.
Hurricane. Nice. Genius.
You're welcome. You're all welcome. It's just creative content. It's for everyone. There's no trademarks here.
Hurricane Gale. We may have to change the nickname of my sister as we continue to White Claw the show. Joe, if the Niner fans come out and it is a sea of red and you produce false starts from the other quarterback and you start winning games on the regular, I'm much more willing to allow the we culture to prevail.
How much did the fans have an impact? How much do they have an impact in games? You've played in hostile environments that have supported you, and then you've gone against hostile environments. Do you think the fans have an impact on the game?
Without a doubt, they do. I think and it depends on the player and depends on the team. You get a young team, and they're coming to your house, and you can just see guys. You can see guys turtle up, especially if they get on you. If the team jumps on you, you're up 14, and you look at the crowd, you look at the other sideline, and you see guys walking around, you see guys jumping off sides. You can tell when the crowd gets – you see it every week. You see the crowds playing a huge part. Guys can't hear. They're holding hands, and all of a sudden, a guy's – he's looking in. Also, the tackle jumps because he thinks it's time to let go of the hand of the guard because he's trying to get off. Because that defender now, because it's a hostile crowd, they can't see the ball. Both of these guys are reacting to the ball now because he can't hear the quarterback. Without a doubt, a hostile crowd can play a huge factor in the outcomes of game, and it helps a lot.
2013, the second game of the season for the Niners was Sunday Night Football at Seattle. I was living in Vegas. This is before I moved here, but I always wanted to check out that stadium. I'm one of those people, I'd like to knock off all NFL stadiums. I'd like to have visited all of them. Some people do ballparks. Yeah, I want to do that. So I was like, I'd always wanted to go up to Seattle to see a game. So Nikki and I were dating at the time, and I was at the Mayweather fight the night before, and then we went and met at Red Rock, and it was like we stayed up late, but we took a really early flight up to Seattle for this game. Checked into the hotel, like did the city, tailgated all day and drank, went to the game at night, and then hung out in Seattle the next day because it was the only time we've ever been there. Point being, there was a lightning warning in that game, so it was delayed. Seattle won that game 29-3, if you remember. Kaepernick was the quarterback. Never in my life, ever in my life, have I been in an atmosphere like that. I couldn't hear her next to me. It was so loud for the entire duration until it got so out of control. They didn't need to yell on every single play, but it starts when they're in the huddle. So you have trouble communicating in the huddle. Then you come up to the line of scrimmage. I'm looking down at Kaepernick. I was in the upper level. I'm thinking to myself, I don't know how anyone can hear him. I can't hear my girlfriend, now wife. I couldn't hear her next to me. The place was going crazy. So much noise. Like, it absolutely has an impact, which is why I'm pro-Wii. It essentially leads me back, but that's what the Niners need to be able to do. You might not have the same acoustical setup that they have at CenturyLink, but you've got to be able to do this. This is like the first time you're being called upon to lead this team, to help this team get some victories.
And coaches try to do it. They try to bring in noise, crowd noise, Dibs. I remember, you know, being down in San Diego and usual Marty pumping the music up because you're going on the road, especially like the Denver and Kansas City.
Right.
Man, that stadium in Denver feels like it's just rocking and moving. That place starts going. They start banging because they still got the metal seats. And that place just starts feel like it's just moving. You're like, oh, my God. Kansas City, you don't talking about the butterflies. You're talking about just that intensity. You're like, man, it makes you think that those guys are, that you got to play even that much harder because the crowd's that, it's got you jacked up that you're saying, man, I got to play that much harder because you just hear it. You feel the energy that in those buildings. I absolutely love that's when I miss football.
I love when you describe it like that because I think you're leading me right to the point I'm going to try to make to you, Joe, is that I think that the 49er fans need to go out there and earn the we. Because you look at some fan bases, and Lowe's talking about playing in New Orleans and in the Voodoo Dome and how loud that gets. And you mentioned Seattle with the Beastquake. And I'll give Raider Nation the credit because that dirt infield is a tough place to play.
They can crank it up in there, too.
And I've been there when it's been really loud.
They can crank it up.
They can crank it.
they earned the we. And you go back to the Candlestick days, and that's back when, you know, Niner fans had a real impact on the game. So for this 49er faithful group, you got to earn the we, in my opinion, which means a red out. You got more, way more red fans. I don't want to hear Pittsburgh fans at all in that
game.
It's
going to be hard.
You got to be able to produce.
They're going to buy them out. I think they're going to, I don't know if the Niner faithful is going to resist the money. Those Steeler fans find a way to get tickets. Let's see.
I don't know if there's any stadium in the country that can keep Steelers fans out.
Right.
I mean, they're
like
everywhere.
That's fine.
That's Cowboys fans.
Yeah. Sorry, Guru. Wow. I need a mimosa.
Not a direct shot at. I'm on record. The cockroaches are the Cowboy fans. We can come up with another name.
You called Guru a cockroach.
If he happens to be a Cowboy fan, which he is, his fandom.
Okay.
Has him as a cockroach. Yeah, and he knows this. I've told him this.
Geometrically, you just walked us right into that. Cowboy fans are cockroaches. Guru's a Cowboy fan. Therefore,
he's a cockroach.
Ergo, thank you.
Nicely done. Nicely done with the inference. Bob and the Billions coming up in 3 minutes. Chilton Auto Body text line. Get your shout-outs ready.
Get ready.
Bob and the Billions. This is where we shout out our good friend Bob Myers and other elitists like Lowe. And then we also shout out Gutter Trash.
Yeah.
GT, like Dibs and
are
myself.
Are you with me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's take a call.
Thank you.
Sal's in the Mita. We got Sal in the Mita.
Come
Sal,
on.
That's what it says. What am I supposed to say? They put it on the call screen. It says Sal
Stop
in the Mita.
Weird, Dibs.
Sal, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, man. Love the show. Haven't called in a while. But, hey, think about it, guys. There is no NFL, NBA, no sports without we. Because we pay for the tickets. We watch the games. We buy the stuff. Listen, I've been a lifelong, I know you're going to make fun of me, I've been a lifelong Cincinnati Bengals fan, and I didn't seem like a fan until I bought my first starter jacket at age 10, and everybody in my school in Fremont made fun of me because they were all Raider fans. So
good
without us paying for everything, that's why it's a we, because we win the Super Bowl because we pay for all those things for the players to make it happen. Thanks, guys.
Love you, Sal.
Great phone call.
We the people of you.
Shout out starter jackets, too.
Shout out.
You know what the beauty of the starter jacket was? That front pocket fit a 40-ouncer in there, no problem.
Always want to start talking about some foldies, some fold dogs.
Not always. No, I don't always talk about 40s. That's a mischaracterization.
No.
I don't walk around life just talking about 40s.
Anytime a starter jacket comes up.
Well, that's what you had the starter jacket for. You can that front pocket
that's
was perfect for an OE 40.
Oh,
do they have the 40s of the claw yet, Joe? White claw 40s, because that's got to be.
From the 510, where is it here? Man, they're already starting to pour in. They want, can we get a white out? Everyone lit up on White Claw.
I don't think so.
They make
but...
pounders of Claw. That's what I buy.
Oh, the pounder.
I get Claw pounders,
You know when it's hot, you can do
Claw pounder.
When it's hot, the team can pick what jersey they want. The Niners should do a white out. Friggin', that'd be awesome.
I got another one for you. Did you see the Warriors just released a bunch of their jerseys for this
year. Yeah, I saw
that. They had the San Francisco ones. And people, you know, they're obviously going to do this. They still do the Bay. They still do the town. What about a Bob, we know you're listening. What about the Mita? Just for one game.
One game.
A Mita Warrior jersey. How great would that be, Dibs?
Even
if it's just a practice jersey.
Right.
You don't actually have to wear that during a real game. That's okay. Maybe against one of the 12 Laker preseason games.
It would be great, and not only to stop at the Mita, but if you had like the stack for Hayward, the Mock.
Yeah! No.
The
See, now you're out of control.
No, this is how you do
just
it.
Just the Mita.
No, Coach, you got to really embrace all people.
No, it's the Mita.
It's the Mita.
The one.
The field for Fairfield. The Ville for Vacaville.
Someone who wanted a shout out yesterday said they were from the Couve, a.k.a. Vancouver.
Nice.
It is 8:55. You know what that means.
Do you have any say over what your office was going to look like here? Great question. Yeah.
Well, we can go see it after there. You guys want to go see it? Low can come. Just Low.
You know what? Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's usually how it is.
No,
it's the famous one of the group.
Too much abuse here. I got to be honest. I listen to you guys.
Now, I love this. You're one of the Billions?
You know what? One of the Billions.
What show is this from?
Is this the new Takeshi 6ix9ine?
Takeshi.
Is that a thing? Isn't that a thing? Isn't he a guy?
I think it's Takeshi.
Takeshi?
Yeah.
He's also facing 47 years in prison, but that's...
Oh, wow. He's snitching everybody out, too. You notice? He's snitching everybody out. Everybody's hardcore right up until they're facing hard time.
So great. Is this XXXTentacion?
Shout out to Bill.
Or six right. lakh.
Bob in the Billions, 855 every day. It's where we shout out our good friend Bob Myers and other elitists like Loneil and gutter trash like Dibs, myself, and so many more of you out there. Hit us up. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Shout out Mises in the Stack, Chris in the Creek from the Moo. Shout out Mike from Crown Catering.
Oh,
shout out Operating Engineers Local 3 at Napa.
Oh, Local 3.
Shout out Juice Chip Skeeter from the Moo. Deanza what? Mark and Locators. Shout out to... This guy does this every day. All right, I'm going to give it to you this one time. Shout out to OJ and Lowe for killing that bottle of Fireball.
Wow.
I hate to do it, but...
Don't do it.
It got red.
That was...
It's
Ruben
nominated.
From Modesto.
Oh, really? Modesto.
Big Rich Town Fantasy Football League. The Dro.
I see you.
Mosquito Killer in Vacaville.
Vacaville. Mosquito Killer.
In the Ville.
The the Tinez for Martinez.
Omar.
Acura of Pleasanton. Now we just got businesses. Moraga Mark. For the 510. Shout out Lee Moore for providing all the manure in California.
Wow. Wow, you're wrong from that. Wow.
Jack IBEW Local 595.
I see you, Jack.
Byron from Santa Rosa.
Oh, Byron.
Jeffrey from Napa. Nick Romero in Dublin. Oh, Coop Nicky. From the Stack. Roberto in Clayton.
From the Stack.
Caleb from the Luna.
All the Luna.
The Brune, San Bruno.
I love it. Don't forget the people in Rosa.
Oh, Rosa.
Or RP, Roner Park, baby.
They rolling in.
What's Petaluma? Is that the Luma?
It's the Luma.
The Luma.
Look it up. Always has been.
Well, the line, text line's lit up.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, Ruth.
From the court. Oh, Supreme Court. RBG.
Como
retired.
In the Gatos.
Como.
This is unbelievable how all these towns have nicknames now.
James Anyone from the Tino? Cupertino?
Jack Vack from Tracy. James from San Ho. Gabe from the Big O, Chico Baby.
The Big O,
Redwood
Chico.
Redwood City, Joe Lopez from the San Ho.
Oh, Joe!
Josh in the Cruz.
Oh, Santa Cruz.
All right, all right. Phone lines are open. Who's going to the game this weekend? How loud's it going to be? Jalen Ramsey, all that good stuff. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.